Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
Shit.
Is your splitter going?
There we go.
That was the problem.
Mm. You weren't plugged in all the way.
Ah, see? It all works out. The splitter was a shitter. I got a new Genesis Classic, the little one that has the cartridge slot, so you can play old Genesis games on it, but it also comes with a bunch of games built in. I had one before, but it was it had wireless controllers, and it was fucking garbage. Like, it was terrible. The controllers were, like, you would play columns, and if you press right, like, the column would just fly to the right of the screen. Like, there was no, it was awful. But this new one has wired controllers, and they work.
I'm closer to you than we've been in a long time, so this is a little off-putting for
me.
I could feel the heat coming off of you.
We could have swapped the table to do long ways if you would have.
No, it's okay. I feel like Batman and Vicky Vale, or Bruce Wayne and Vicky Vale in the original Batman, the 89 Batman.
Vicky Vale.
So yeah, I'm playing mostly with the Storm Boys, with the Sigmarines.
I have a deck list for them that I was putting together. It is the most boring.
They're really
awful,
boring play.
Like, it is the most boring, awful list to play and play against. But I don't think it's, like, reasonably able to be beaten.
No, it's all denial. That's
like,
all it is.
Yeah, I think, like, it would be very difficult. Like, my corn list could do it if I get all, if everything goes really well for my corn list and I get all the upgrades on Garrick, because he can smoke through anything.
Yeah.
Like, when he has all the upgrades, he's actually just a fucking nightmare.
Yeah.
And then I'd have to, like, gamble on some denial cards.
Yeah, the way that I was looking at it is that when you're playing the Stormy Boys, you take your two boards, and you always place your board so that it gives the least amount of room to go between the boards, so you give them just the three tiles to get in through.
Mm-hmm.
And you basically just create a corridor of death that you just deny anything. Because if you could only allow in, like, one character at a time to make a charge, you just wait your guys there.
What I would do is, if I lost the roll and I placed my board first, I would do long ways. And I would have my deployment as close to me on my side of the table as possible.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly it. And then, you keep it as denial as much as possible.
Just give it long ways and just let them come to you and just don't do anything. And you just sit there holding whatever objectives you have.
It's so, yeah, you have to.
It's awful.
Well, that's the, you know, the thing that I was looking at with that is with the objective decks, the fact that you can only put 10 cards in your objective deck.
It's 12.
Is it 12?
You have to have 12. There's no more, no less.
Maybe,
it's exactly,
oh, yeah, it's
12.
Yeah.
You're thinking of the ploy and upgrade
the
split.
No, yeah.
The power card split.
So the 12, it's five of those are going to be, like, they don't have to be the hold objective, but those are pretty decent for the decks.
I would use, for my objective list in the Stormcast list, I use the hold three objectives, just the flat hold three objectives. I use the your leader is holding an objective. And then I don't think any of the only objective cards that are like hold these specific objectives that I think are worth anything are the ones where you have to hold multiple objectives, but the ones where you can hold multiple objectives are not good in the Stormcast.
No,
list,
they're not.
There's only three of them.
Yeah.
So I don't use any of those other than like I would use that last one, like holding three objectives, like maybe, but even then I think they're better off using the, all of the power cards that can create glory points, like the keys.
Yeah.
Or like if you're sitting on an objective and you have the key, like that's what I would use. So I would.
Yeah. Well, those aren't available in the base.
Okay. Yeah. See, because like right here you have the dazzling
Ooh.
Key,
and if dazzling key.
Yeah. It's if they're holding four objective four, you score two glory points. So what I would do is I would have.
That's cool.
I would have this dazzling key card, and then hold objective
See,
four.
See, the problem is I haven't bought the undead and the orc deck and orc boys yet.
You got it.
And I've been waiting online to see the decks pop up because I'm like, oh, people are just going to buy them for the models. Nope, you can't get those decks.
Everyone's playing. That did. I'm sure it's sold out by now. I would be beyond shocked if it wasn't, because there were only four slots remaining when I signed up for the Shadespire event at Adepticon, which is insane. Like, how the holy shit! Like, it sold out insanely fast. Incredibly fast.
I don't think so. I mean, it's A, it's a tourney game. B, there's a low point of entry for it. I mean, it's becoming higher because if you have
just the speed, like how fast it sold out, I was like shocked that many people.
Yeah, but I mean,
like, yep,
it's a fun game.
It is really, really fun.
It's quick. I'm not completely sold on it. Like, I wouldn't probably do tournament with it. I like playing. What I like doing is, like, having it as a sideboard game. So, like, let's say, you know, I'm playing a game of Sigmar or Bolt Action or something like that. It's good to be like, okay, we played three turns. Let's play a couple rounds of Shadespire and let's get this, you know, let's play 20 minutes of Shadespire, get this out of the way.
Yeah, I think Shadespire is a game that's well-designed enough that I can actually take it seriously and be competitive, but not have the drawbacks of trying to take a game like Age of Sigmar competitively. Because if you want to take like an army game competitively, like it's rough.
My bigger issues are we are so close to the release of the game with enough of the with the initial releases that there's going to be an optimal deck put out very, very soon, or optimal deck with playstyle put out very, very soon for each of the factions. That's going to, I think, that will kill a lot of the fun of the meta.
I don't know. It seems like there's a lot. There's a lot of stuff that's viable. Like,
There is a lot of,
because you can play. Like, you don't have to. Like I said, I was designing the most boring Stormcast list in the universe. You can make one about having them punch shit. Like, that is totally a list you can do, because they're also very strong. They have a.
Angie Everhart. You keep whatever her name is, Engahard.
Oh yeah. Ingra.
We call her
Ingra.
Yeah, we were calling her Angie Everhart. If you upgrade her, she's brutal.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely.
She has tons of chops. Like, she's very strong. Like, all of the Sigmar characters are very strong. And, like, the heroes with the hammer, like, the dude with the two-handed hammer, like, he kills anything.
Oberyn.
Yeah, Oberyn. He just, like, in one shot, like, he will one shot anything.
Yeah. So, especially if you get some upgrades for him where he, adds +1 to the kill, because when he gets to a 4 on a hit,
yeah,
he's a character killer.
Yeah, he kills anything.
Yeah, he kills your warband. I was playing Dwayne the other day. It was my first time playing against the undead, and the first time he played it, you know, we played and it was fine. It didn't really count. Second time he did some positioning wrong, and had his leader a little high up. I one shot his leader turn one, and that was it.
Yeah, that's pretty
bad. Game over at that point.
That's over.
And then the third game, I was very close to winning because I play basically a very reserved deck.
Mm-hmm.
And he happened to just get a couple surprise chops on my on Angie Everhart, and it totally blew apart my plan completely. Mm. And it lost me the game.
The biggest surprise thing I did with my boss man is he flipped to Inspired Side, so his movement was 5. And then he used Sprint, which lets him move, double his movement. And then I used the card that lets him that makes his first attack hit everything adjacent, and then I used a thing that let him attack right then and there. So that was a huge blowout.
I mean,
just like damage.
There's a lot of fun little combos.
He went down to Damage Town.
Damage Town. By the way, guys,
and then Whiff Town. We were living in Whiff Town and Damage Town on League Night. We had
what night do you go? And you go Mondays, right?
Monday, yeah. I had the orc boss and my boss for two like straight actions each. They just whiffed on each other.
Nice.
They're just like, huh.
That's Grognard that has the League Night, right?
Yeah.
Grognard Games, by the way, fun little store up in Roselle, right?
I think that's accurate.
I don't know if you're in a Chicagoland area.
Sounds
you
right.
can look them up. What I like about Grognard,
it's Roselle.
Yeah, two things. One, they do a lot of vintage stuff, so that you could sell your stuff to them.
And they have a lot of old 40K models too.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Vintage. Yeah. You sell your shit to them.
I just meant they have a lot.
Yeah, and they'll put it up for sale, so you could find a lot of like older stuff still in blister. By the way, most of the stuff still in blisters, old. Bargain bin bunker stuff, because they're not
asking for ludicrous
prices.
They're
actually asking for really reasonable prices.
Yeah,
and they did 50% off all vintage for Black Friday.
Yeah,
so
I bought a
shit ton of stuff.
They're running another special too, which is if you buy, you can buy a starter or a start collecting box at 15% off, and then you can get anything else equal or lesser purchase for 50% off.
Yeah,
so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, Steve's been very excited about Shadespire. It brought you back in, man.
It's been playing.
You're back.
I've been playing a lot of Shadespire. Well, it's convenient and easy to play. Like,
it's so easy.
Easy to like lug my Age of Sigmar army out to like play in a weeknight. Like, what the fuck am I? How am I gonna do that?
It's
like I can show up. I played like 6 rounds of Shadespire, and then left, and it was still like not even 9 o'clock. So you know that's where I'm at for Sigmar. Like, it's cool, like, and I'm definitely gonna try and play a bit more when I finish the rest of my models. But I think I'm gonna just that's gonna be a game where like I play like once a month at a tournament.
Yeah.
Just dick around.
By the way, speaking of, guess who's going to be playing in the Age of Sigmar team tournament?
Who?
Team Game Classy.
Team Classy.
Team Classy is going to be playing in the Age of Sigmar team tournament this year at Adepticon.
Yes.
That's if Steve doesn't, like, 2 days before I go, I'm not
going
to go.
Oh, no. I paid for it. I'm going.
Oh, that's true. You were the one who did pay for it.
Yeah. I paid, man. I'm there.
we're doing a Nurgle team up.
Yes.
So. I mean, I'm not
Nurgle boys.
Yeah, not that I expect. The funny thing is Steve's like, I'm playing Nurgle. You could just build anything around that. I'm like, God damn it.
Nurgle boys.
Well, because the first thing.
Hey, there's some pretty nasty Nurgle combos.
Oh, we made a nasty. Well, that's the thing I wanted to, because I'm like, if I'm going to play with Steve in a team tournament, we got to create a Death Star, you know? We got to create that, like, the old 100-man Skaven Slave 8th Edition Fantasy Army unit, or what, 100 goblins.
Yes.
You know, we got to create that unit.
With all of your characters in one unit. The front row is so big, it's just goblin champions, wizards, and fanatics.
Oh, yeah, just everything that's the
biggest block in the world.
Yeah, so we had to create something that was that bad that people would go like, can I see the rule on that? And we're going to highlight the rules. And say, what we should do is we should if someone calls us on it, we should actually create like a little flip book and our like a phone with like a YouTube montage that shows like the rule to like Sarah McLachlan's I will remember you.
Nice.
And so that way it plays while they're tasting their salty tears.
Can we mount a little LCD on our display board and just be like, hang on, wait, let me get the display board and just like wheel it.
Oh yeah, that would be great too. Get like a tablet.
Oh yeah.
Okay, here's what we do. So I create the display board. We will create the display board, and it'll have like a warp gate on it.
Okay.
And inside the warp gate, I'll mount
tablet.
I'll mount tablet. And so if a person calls us on it, we just press a button and it starts playing the video
in the warp gate.
Yeah. And we'll have like the Game of Thrones music behind it. It'll be dun 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 dun. Nice. Dun. It'll just say like, here are the fucking rules. You.
I think most people will know that rule exists.
Well, yeah, we're bringing some. Steve was like, I'm just gonna bring like 10 models.
It is
11
it
models
is
actually.
13 models, sir.
Oh yeah, 13.
It's 13 total. Yeah. See, it's themey. I'm bringing the right number for you.
That's true. You are bringing 13 models, which I know it stinks really bad.
Yes.
Yes, we're bringing. Steve is bringing 13 models. How many models do I got? I got. So one unit's got 30. The other unit's got 20. So that's 50. Then I got the boss, two bosses, so and five guys. So that's 57. That's not divided by three. You can't divide that by three. So no. Oh, and a plague catapult.
There
so 58.
Yes. Don't forget about the poop catapult.
Yeah, that's the only model I don't own that I'll have to put together and build. But I'm the fastest painter alive, so apparently I can do that. But I and by the way, I found all the extra arms for my guys, so I'm gonna have to replace the arms that I have on the guys,
yes.
So I can put those on there.
Flawless.
I know. I'm only doing it because I'm like, I have to have this Death Star. I have to. At this point, when we did it, I was explaining it to Dwayne about the unit, and I was just like, this is what we're doing. He goes, that's not possible. You can't do that. I'm like, no. It's possible, and we're doing it.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want to talk about it too much on the cast, just in case, but, you know, who cares?
A lot of dice.
It's a lot of dice.
There's a lot of dice.
I'm going to bring, you want me to bring, because I have the fishbowl from the bunker with all the dice in it.
Oh, nice.
I'm just going to bring that and just dump
I have,
it.
I have a rolling tray, an Ultra Pro rolling tray, so we could use that.
I should have like a bucket of dice that's specifically for that unit and says the unit's name on there. Just, when I'm rolling, just...
Just pour it out.
Oh, yes! I cannot wait. Or just 10 dice that I roll 18 times, and you sit there with like a little sign that like flips over the number of times I'm rolling. We should be those obnoxious players. I think that should be our thing.
It's just gonna be fun.
It's gonna be a bunch of people with. Wait, what's the army du jour? What's everyone's plan?
I actually am not 100% sure with the new edition, but I hear Fire Slayers are really, really good.
It's whatever's gonna be shooting the most.
No, Fire Slayers, nope, they are all melee.
No, Fire Slayers got the cannon guys, cannon boys.
they are using all fires, just the Slayers, just choppiness.
Just choppiness.
I mean, they technically have, like, not exactly adjacent attacks for some guys, because they have, like, the axes on chains, but they're not exactly shooting you from 24 inches. Most of the shooting lists got fucking murdered in the 2017 General's Compendium. So, like, the stuff is still good. Like, you can, like, for example, the Savage Orc list, which was the shooting list du jour, you can still play that army, but you won't win. So that's where they're at now, because you lose a huge percentage of your army size because they increase the costs of all those ranged units.
Now, here's something. I don't know if you know about this.
And they removed some keywords.
I was reading up online when D4chan had this, so I'm not 100% positive because I haven't had the will to go and look. I'm kind of like, they say I can do it. I'm going to do it. That according to the recent FAQ, if a unit says that there's two different types of banner that a unit could take, you could actually take both of them in the unit at the same time.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's fine.
That's ridiculous, and I love it, the fact that that's a rule.
Yeah, I don't think that there's anything against it, as long as you have the models.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like one of the units I want to take has, like, seven different options for command. I'm like, I'm going to take them all.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of it.
I'm excited about that.
I mean, and I believe you can technically take multiple champions, too, like...
Multiple champions.
Yeah, but I'm the.
Issue?
It's based.
Oh,
yes,
that is the new issue.
It is the new issue of White Dork.
When did it come out?
I just got it today.
Oh, I wonder if it's. I wonder if it's.
It came
stores.
With an alternate art healing potion card for Shadespire.
What?
Yeah, I was actually. I saw that it was. It came with cards for Blood Bowl, the Silver Tower, and Warhammer Quest, and. Shadespire, and I was like, oh, cool, Shadespire card exclusive. And I was like, wait a minute, if this is a limited edition card, I'm gonna be really annoyed. Like, you can only get it in the White Dwarf. I'm like, I'm gonna be really annoyed. But I looked and I was like, oh, it's just an alternate art card. And I'm like, they did it right. Like, they actually did it right.
Yeah. I gotta check and see if that comes out this week. I hope it comes out this week. Whatever.
There's some good battle reports in there.
Battle reports.
Bet reps.
I'm playing Necromunda.
Some reps.
Playing Necromunda Tuesday.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna bring out the Dalax. I don't know. I built the army. I played two games with them, but I never sold them. So I'm like, I'm just going to. Well, now they come back, so I get to play them. So I'm excited about
You've
that.
Done it.
Yeah, exactly. I was invited, and they were like, we're going to play some Necromunda. I'm like, all right, I guess.
Necrothunda down under Munda.
I know. It's like, my problem is that they put the Escher, no, they put the Goliath and the
Escher
yeah. Into the box set, which I was like, oh, that's cool. That's better than doing the Goliath and more Orlocks.
Yeah, I mean,
like,
this is the classic showdown, isn't it? These two gangs hate each other.
Yeah, but the original box set had the Orlocks and the Goliaths in there, and I was like, oh man, that's kind of cool that they kind of, you know, bucked the trend and they put a different army in there. I'm like, this is gonna be neat, and they're like, new army coming out for Necromunda, Orlocks. I was like, God damn it. Like, the most boring gang of out there. It's like, hey.
Isn't Orlocks, like, just the dudes?
They're just dudes.
Like, they're it's like, we've got glasses and shotguns.
Yeah, it's like, we're dudes, and we kind of wear bandanas. I'm like, that's.
What about the Delacues?
Yeah, I want the Dalax.
Is it Dalax? I thought it was Delacues.
Well, it doesn't matter.
I don't fucking
You can
know.
Call them Delacues. No one's going to care.
That's true.
Who's gonna stop you? The Necromunda police?
Wee wee.
Excuse me. You can't call them Delacues. They're Dalax.
Like, knock that guy's model off the table. I mean, like, what about now?
where's your gore hoof guy, huh?
Where's your Delacue now,
where's
bro?
Your Go back to your mother's basement, you damn neckbeard.
That was unnecessary bullying.
We got a bully here, guys. We got a bully.
Shut up, nerd.
Quiet, nerdlinger. That's exactly right.
That's one of my favorite current memes is the jock pushing the nerd into the thing, and it's just like people who play miniatures games, me who also plays miniatures games, like shoving him into the locker.
It's right.
Yeah, it's good.
The problem is like all those people go and post on alt-right forums.
Yeah, I mean, there's
a lot of
Nazism is attractive to miniatures gamers for some reason. I don't know why.
Could it be the giant Aquila that's on the fucking game?
Maybe. I don't know. I assume they would just like all just actually just be playing historical games. Maybe that's where they're going to head off to. They'll just meander away to historical
games. It's a good amount. You know, it's not terrible. So, like, a lot of those guys that I know, like, I'm thinking of one person in particular who is kind of, like, on the fringes of the Chicagoland gaming community. He's very, very pro, like, I'm not a Nazi. I just really am into the history of it. I'm like, yeah.
Javol.
It's just like, I'm sitting there, I'm like, because I know this guy, and he thinks he's clever, but... If he could be easily doxxed online, you find out who his identity is really quick. You're just like sitting there going, yeah. Yeah.
Not fooling anyone, pal.
No. And it's like, it's really hard for me because I don't want to say like I'm super liberal. I'm a pretty liberal guy. You know, I say a lot of dumb things that people would be like, that's not very liberal of you. And I'm like, I'm a liberal, but I'm also an asshole. But I can't, you know, I'm more liberal. So I look at this guy and I'm like, this guy's Hitler. And this guy would look at me and he'd probably be like, this guy's Lenin or Stalin. Stalin's the one they always go
with. I am the walrus. Yeah. Yes, they always go with Stalin.
Yeah. And Steve is, I'm Guillermo del Toro.
Yes, yay! That's me. I am Guillermo.
Yeah. All right, so I got some gaming stuff to talk about. All right, we already talked about Shadespire. my top comment was something that made me angry yesterday, which is people who post pictures of their armies online, and I'm like, ooh, this army looks great. And so I click on the link to see better pictures of the
army.
And
it's the same size?
No, and it's a YouTube video. Oh. I'm like, I ain't got time for this. Who wants to watch a fucking YouTube army?
Right.
A YouTube video of your damn army. Just post some pictures of it online.
I agree. Pictures, please.
Yeah. Damn asshole. Samurai Batman.
Although not because it makes you mad, maybe I should encourage more YouTube armies.
Well, I mean, like, you're not a video.
Actually, the best would be a YouTube video of your army, but it's just a slideshow of the pictures.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, that would make me so angry with terrible music in the background.
Like the, I will remember you.
That would be funny though.
Or Despacito.
No, what it should be is it should be like a picture of like the Horus Heresy army, like so like Horus, and it'll just be like, I will. But all of that is like every time you take a picture of the army, then the next picture is from like DeviantArt of like the Emperor making out with Horus.
Nice.
And yeah, that's,
now we're talking.
Yeah, because there's plenty of that. There's lots of gay sex Primarch.
Dum 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 boom boom. Chicka.
De bow bow. Oh yeah.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a because I just started the Horus Heresy novels because they're on Audible now, so you can get them super cheap. And I started Horus Heresy because I'm like, I've always kind of wanted to read it or listen to it, and I'm like, I'll give it a try. So I started listening to it, and the guy who reads the first book sounds just like Patrick Stewart in some of his voices. And
sweet.
It's to the point where I've had to check it multiple times going, like, is this Patrick Stewart reading this?
That's pretty sweet.
If it is, this is awesome.
I've heard that some of those books are really, really good, and some of them are really, really bad.
It's all about the authors. Some of the authors are great. The first one's Dan Abnett, so it's like...
Boulder, frame.
Chainsword.
Daka. Laser cannon, last cannon, frame.
Gaunt.
Jet bikes, gaunt. The ghosts.
The only Imperial Guardsman whose plot armor is thicker than a Space Marine's. They're so ridiculous.
There was one Imperial Guard book I really liked. It was a story about an Imperial Guardsman who was they were going to defend against an orc thing, and it was just like this big battle, and then at the end everyone died. They all died.
So you just described every guardsman book there is.
It was really good.
Yeah. No, I read the Gaunt's Ghost books. I read the first whatever the first two like series of the Gaunt's Ghost books. I really liked those. I kind of stopped after that because I was like, I don't need to know anything more about the Gaunt's Ghost after this.
What about the other guy who's got the fucking scars all over his face? What
Syphus
the hell is
Kane?
Is that Syphus Kane? Yeah, Syphus Kane.
Syphus Kane is the guy who's like the really
he's like a rogue trader, right?
No, Syphus Kane is the
he's an inquisitor.
Kane is the guy who's like a coward, but for some odd reason he keeps falling into situations.
Right.
Like he's a flash heart, is what he is.
Yeah, that's right. He keeps falling ass backwards into glory.
Yeah, and everyone's all like Syphus Kane. Yeah. He's just like, you know,
and he's like, yeah me. That's good. I like that character.
Yeah. Maybe you're thinking of the Inquisitor books.
I'm pretty sure I was thinking of Sifis Kane. No, almost 100%.
Okay, because there's the Inquisitor books that I read.
Because Sifis Kane's all fucking scarred and shit.
Maybe I don't remember off the top of my head. The Eisenhorn books were the Inquisitor.
Yeah, it's not
books.
Eisenhorn. Yeah. Definitely not Eisenhorn.
Love the Eisenhorn it was books. Kane. Well, I shouldn't say I love the Eisenhorn books. I like the Eisenhorn books enough.
Very good.
That I was just like, it's good. I dig it. But I think I read a couple of the other Dan Abnett books for 40K, but that was like fucking 12 years ago, 13 years ago.
Yeah. And so of course I've read the Iron Warriors book.
Iron Within.
Whatever the
Iron
fuck it was
without.
Called.
Iron Within, Iron Without?
It's not called that.
Oh.
It's one word.
Perturbo.
It's not Perturbo. Turbo.
Are you sure you're not thinking about Perturbo?
He is Turbo.
We need a...
Iron Sky or Ash Cloud Sky. I don't know.
Just take your list from one know. Word and the other word. Roll your 2D6s, your D100s, and find out what the mix is. Grimfist.
Yeah.
A novel of the Iron Warriors.
It was about Iron Warriors. It was really good.
Yeah. War Foot. none of the books are describing
War Machine.
Yeah, none of them describe what's actually going on.
Just call it War Machine.
War Machine. Just call the book War Machine.
Yeah, it's called War Machine.
Yeah, see, people like that. No one's playing that game
anymore.
People
like War Machine.
Yeah, people like War Machine. Call it War Hordes. How about that? This is good.
I actually was going with the Marvel War Machine reference, but there is a miniatures game one as well.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's more applicable to this podcast as opposed to Rhodey Rhodes.
But it is more forgettable than John Cheadle.
Than Don Cheadle. But what about the other guy?
Terrence Howard?
Yeah, the guy who got canned.
Because he was asking for a lot of money?
Yeah. Rightfully so, though. He was asking
asked for the same amount as Robert Downey Jr., which is not going to happen. Like, I understand Terrence Howard, he's a good actor and everything, but Robert Downey Jr. got a ludicrous amount of money to play Iron Man. Like,
no,
a ludicrous amount
I
of
agree.
Money.
But the reason why I kind of side with Terrence Howard is a little bit because he's the first one who signed on to that project
I agree.
And believed with it.
I agree. He should have gotten a raise. They should have paid him more.
Yeah. I agree. They should have gotten to pay him more.
Yeah, maybe not as much as fucking...
RDJ, but...
Robert Downey Jr., because Robert Downey Jr. is like a fucking massive superstar.
But at the time, he wasn't, though.
No, because when he asked for more money, it was Iron Man 2.
Yeah.
And Robert Downey Jr.'s sky star had, like, exploded into the sky because
everyone,
of Iron Man.
Yeah, everyone loved Iron Man.
So, like, that's why he got so much fucking money for the sequel. And Terrence Howard was like, hey, me too. And they were like, nah, we'll just hire Don Cheadle.
That thinking man's Terrence Howard.
Yeah, which is kind of crap because I thought Terrence Howard was a really good.
It's
fine.
It doesn't really matter in the long run. It's it's so like who is the guy who played War Machine?
I knew that.
Well, I know you know that, and I knew that too. But it's like who the hell cares in the long run?
I don't know. I haven't watched the comic book movie in a long time.
All we know is that Infinity War cost $500 million.
I'm like totally burnt out on comic book. I've been totally burnt out on comic book shit. Like, I haven't watched anything related to comic book stuff in forever.
Justice League was fun, but it is terrible. It is a terrible movie.
Didn't watch it.
Yeah.
I don't even care. I still haven't seen Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman!
I just don't care.
Wonder Woman was okay. I like it. It was a little grim dark, but it was fine.
Gal
Gadot
sure.
can't act.
Sure. Like, it's just... All I can do is shrug and be like, okay. Yeah. That's what, when people are like, oh, it's so good, you should watch it. I'm just like, eh. And people are like, oh, Punisher. I'm like, eh.
Oh, God,
I'm not even
Punisher
on Netflix anymore.
Punisher's fucking terrible.
Yeah, didn't you say, like, the thing, like, when you think of a Punisher show, you want to think of the Punisher running around shooting people, and then the Punisher show is not that?
Yeah. The Punisher show is, like, lightweight Homeland, or a thinking man's Quantico.
I don't even know what Quantico is.
It's one of those shows that your parents watch.
Is it Jag?
Not your parents. Well, maybe your mom. I don't know your mom. Your dad, he's not going to watch Quantico. Your dad has taste when it comes to movies and stuff like that.
Jag.
Did your dad watch Jag?
He did not watch Jag.
No.
No, TV-wise, my dad watched, like, it was always
I just know your dad
stuff. Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
And
your dad's a nerd.
Yeah,
so
he's a movie nerd.
Yeah, he's a movie nerd. So I figured that probably translates a little bit.
High-tier movie nerd.
Yeah, he probably translates to his television watching a little
bit. Yeah, I think he would usually just watch movies.
Yeah.
Like, that. Like, I'm trying to think if he watched any... and then he would, like, it would either be, like, movies or, like, the most, like, lowbrow shit, like Jerry Springer or Jackass. He loved Jackass.
My dad, he would only watch... when I was growing up, it was Nick at Night. all the time. So it was like any
My dad watched the fuck out of Nick at Night.
Any show from the 1950s and 60s, my father watched the fuck out of. Like, I've seen every episode of Mr. Ed and Car 54, Where Are You?
My dad loves Mr. Ed.
And Leave It to Beaver and...
Not Leave It to Beaver.
I was never a fan of Leave It to Beaver. I've watched every... My Three Sons.
I know Mr. Ed.
I've watched every episode.
The Stooges.
Oh, yeah, Stooges. Green Acres.
Laurel and Hardy. I fucking love Laurel and Hardy.
They weren't on the Nick at Night, but like all those old shows. Petticoat Junction.
It sounds like your dad watched a lot more Nick at Night than mine.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, also like, I watched a shit ton of it, and like My Mother the Car. Like,
there's a show called My Mother the Car.
Yeah, it's about a guy whose mother dies and comes back as a car.
What?
Yeah.
That's real?
That's a real
Is
show.
Is that anything like Turbo Teen?
Yes, it's exactly like Turbo. No, it's
Fuck
nothing
yeah.
like
Turbo Teen. Dude, Turbo Teen could bang that dude's mom.
Yes.
Finally, car fucking. Bringing it back. You ever see Southland Tales?
Yes, I have seen Southland Tales.
I just watch a car fuck a car? Well, that's for the European release. We'll censor here.
Not a big fan of the Southland Tales.
It had a really good soundtrack.
Yeah, it had a great soundtrack. Also had The Rock in it.
Did have The Rock in it.
And Robert Downey Jr. going back.
Yeah. And Stifler.
It did have Stifler in it. That's...
And it has one of my all-time favorite lines in a movie ever, delivered by John Lovitz, when he leans down and he's...
No, I'm thinking of Scanner Darkly with our DJ. He's not in that
Yeah,
one.
That's right. And then John Lovitz leans down and goes, "Hey, do you want to fuck or watch a movie?" I was like, that... That was good.
That's...
And then Kevin Smith is in that movie, like, out of nowhere.
Kevin Smith's in Wolf Cop 2, so.
But, I mean...
Another Wolf Cop.
Like, Kevin Smith being in a movie that he had nothing to do with is always kind of weird to me. Because usually Kevin Smith, like, when he's in something, either, like, he's making the movie, his friend is making the movie, or, like, in the example of Daredevil, he is guest starring in the movie because he wrote a lot of Daredevil comics.
Yeah. He's like, also friends with Affleck.
Baffleck, yes, sure. But, like, him in Southland Tales was totally out of fucking nowhere. I was like, why are you in
Which
this
Which is
movie?
Also, like, why he's in, like, it baffles me that he's in Wolf Cop 2,
yeah.
Another Wolf Cop.
Just like, what? Another Wolf Cop? Is it actually subtitled Another Wolf Cop?
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I just watched Officer Down.
The one with the zombie cop?
Yeah. Officer Down. It's terrible, but it's also awesome.
So I don't know if I talked about this on the cast before, but one of the classes I'm teaching this year is I'm teaching allegory in science fiction movies. So basically, it's like we're picking science fiction movies and we're just saying like, hey, this
Star Wars are Nazis.
No, not we're not going to there. But I mean like Godzilla. So we watched the original
Fear of Nuclear War, etc.
Yeah, exactly. But we watched the 1956 one, the one with Raymond Burr in it,
where they just edit him into
movie. Yeah. And I was explaining to the kids every time he like popped into the screen, I'd pause it and go, look at, he's edited in. And look at, the Japanese people are turned around so you can't see that those are not the actors. And, like, their heads are just kind of moving back and forth to show that they're talking. I'm like, and I would stop it. I'd be like, all right, so there's, like, okay, so this scene, like, okay, this is rear projection, pause. This is a toy. Look at the toy. Like, my kids hate me. They're like, just let us watch the movie, sir. Please.
The actor who played Godzilla recently died.
I just saw that. Yeah. It's Godzilla, the original Godzilla, pretty good movie. Even King of the Monsters, pretty good. That's the American remake. But I was watching some of the other Godzilla movies. God, fuck, they are terrible.
They're bad. They're B movies. The original Godzilla is a movie that was an important piece of filmmaking.
Yeah.
Like, for many reasons. Like, the statement it had, the
effects of the time.
Yes, the advancements in visual effects. The storytelling was excellent. It was an excellent film.
Except for that love plot that they shoved in there for some odd reason.
I think that's only in the American version.
No, because I think it's in the Japanese version as well.
I'm not sure. I know there was a lot of, like, stuff that was shuffled around for the cut. But it spawned a large number of B-movie sequels for kids. Because like, the first Godzilla is not a kid's movie. It's boring as shit for a kid.
I don't think it's boring as shit for a kid.
It's pretty boring for youngsters. Like, the difference between like Godzilla running around with Godzuki and fucking flying
through
the sky.
Well, okay, if you're going through that.
And Jet Jaguar, like, you know, like, But so it spawned a bunch of like
But Godzilla versus Mothra or whatever.
Also a good movie.
It's like 4 hours
it's
long.
It's super long.
4 hours long makes no sense whatsoever.
Of course not. It's a giant fucking moth. And there's like the weird spirit girls.
The
who
two
are
of
like,
them, the twins?
Like, yeah, they like fly around in their in their bubble singing the Mothra song. Like,
the Mothra song.
It's so fucking weird. But yeah, I mean, it just has a shit ton. It just like anything else has a million sequels. Just like Jaws, it's the closest example I can think of for America is Jaws.
No way. Well, Jaws,
because the first Jaws is an amazing film. Yeah. And then every
Jaws 2, another Jaws.
Every Jaws after it is just garbage.
Well, there's only two. There's only Jaws 2 and Jaws 3.
Are you sure? Isn't there more Jaws? I guess there's probably just a lot of shark movies that aren't Jaws.
I would say, I would say like maybe Friday the 13th or Halloween. Halloween is a good example. Halloween, first movie, amazing. All the other Halloweens, pretty terrible in its way.
Except for Halloween 3, Season of the Witch. That's a great movie.
That's a terrible movie.
The movie's fucking awesome. I love that movie.
It's
that movie's so good.
It's a
three
bit.
More days till Halloween. 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 Three more days till Halloween.
Oh God, my face is turning into bugs.
Silver Shamrock. Dude, that movie was excellent for many reasons. One, it was a horror film where they directly and graphically killed kids.
They did,
which is fucking awesome. They killed them in a fucking metal as shit way where their heads melted into a pile of bugs. Like that fucking is awesome. Yeah, that movie's great. I love that movie. I haven't seen it in probably 15 years, but man.
Yeah, I would double check that one. That one's not quite.
Well, I mean, a lot of things don't age well, but man, when I watched that movie, whoo, it was good.
Yeah. Let me see, what else do I got game wise?
But I found most movies don't age well. A lot of times I go back and I'll watch a movie and I'm like, man, this movie's actually really bad. And then there's a few movies, like the movies that like stand the test of time usually have like relatively recent sequels.
Yeah.
Like relatively recent, so like I'll count Aliens in that. Aliens just had a brand new one now that I think about it, so yeah, that falls. Oh, Alien and Aliens are two of the greatest sci-fi horror films ever made. Alien being a horror film, Aliens being an action film, but super. I actually thought the last Alien movie was pretty good. It was uneven, but it was pretty good.
This is the song from the next movie I'm showing, which is the original 1958 Blob, because it's all about
beware of the Blob. It creeps and leaps and
I didn't know if you know
slides
that.
Across the floor, right through the door, and all around the splotch. Yeah, of course I know the Blob. How could you not know the Blob? We should show them that. Oh, I guess you can't show them the 80s one.
That one's great.
Yeah, that's a great movie. That's one of the few. That's one of the very few exceptions of like where the remake is like so good it completely surpasses the original. I love this song. I used to unironically listen to this song for pure entertainment. We're dancing.
Game Classy Dance Party.
The name of the play.
So I was telling the kids. When I teach one of the movies, I always do like this one of the day I spend like one day just going over like, okay, this is the background of this movie, like this is why this movie was made. So like with the Blob, it's all about communism, and
is the Blob the Red Scare?
Yeah, they don't really. The writers always say it's not about the Red Scare; it's about the fucking Red Scare, and it's also about teenage car culture. A lot of it has to do with teenage car culture because that wasn't like a real big thing at the time. And I'm going over it with the kids, and I go through this whole long thing about like how, you know, if you have premarital sex, the Blob's gonna kill you, and all of this stuff, blah 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 blah.
And then you play the song.
And I said, and this is the theme song to the movie. And it's like I put it on, and I was like, dud, 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 dud. And the kids are like, "What is this that you're making us watch?"
That's awesome.
No, The 1980s one is great.
That's a fucking
but
awesome
it is,
movie.
It is not allegorical at all. It doesn't mean anything. It's just a horror
it's
film.
It's a badass movie is what it means. It means, holy shit, this is fucking sweet. That's what
holy
it means.
Holy crap, that guy just got pulled down a drain.
Oh, it's melting that kid's fucking face.
Yeah.
It just also costs another movie that has a graphically killed kid.
Yeah, oh, that's right. But it's not a little kid, right?
It's a little kid.
I don't remember that.
Oh, he's a little kid.
It's been a long
time. He's totally
time.
Like maybe eight tops.
Oh, okay.
The only recent movie I can think of that actually has anything like that is It, the remake.
I haven't seen that one yet.
Oh, you haven't? There's a graphic child murder
scene. I was never a huge fan of It, so I'm kind of waiting. I got Geostorm in HD, though.
Are you going to pair it up with its it has to be double features, the Snowman?
No. Geostorm is
Geostorm and the Snowman are a destined double feature.
So Kevin and I are doing the Spider-Man movie for the next Comic Book Logic because we missed it over the summer.
The one, the
new one. The Tom current Holland one?
Okay.
Yeah. So we're like...
Dude, I don't know. There's a million fucking new Spider-Man movies. So
I said, like, let's just not do Spider-Man and just do Geostorm and just do a complete, like, solid review of Geostorm.
That's awesome.
Fuck. All right. What other gaming stuff? I like all my stuff.
Didn't someone want me to do something?
Yeah, they wanted to read from some book, but they never sent us like a chapter or anything that they wanted us to read.
Oh, all right.
They also GW sent out a survey, a community survey.
Oh,
that they like. I took it. I did the legit survey. He said like, should Steve take the survey? So I did it first just to kind of see what it is. It's a long ass survey, and we're not doing it on the cast. Mm. But it's all like, you know, like what games do you play? How often do you play? Where do you go to play?
Ah.
You know, stuff like that. But my favorite thing was that they would ask us is like, you know, what would you like us to know? And like some of the people have been posting memes of their like responses to that. Like, and it's stuff like Magnus did nothing wrong.
Mm.
You know, Alpha Legion. What was it about the Alpha? It was Alpha Legion or.
The Alpha Legion is not here.
It's like Alpha Legion is loyal, something like that. Or Dark Angel, you know, basic GW memes.
Sure.
Yeah, I put on there. I was like, I'm very happy. Or what would you like us to change? And I think one of the thing I said is, it's like, please God, make the models cost to their production, not necessarily their points value in the game, because that's the one thing that kills this fucking hobby. Is it's like, oh, you want to field this rare unit? Well, I hope you have $160.
Yeah,
for three models.
It's very expensive.
Yeah, Vanguard, really cool models. You could do a lot with them. Are they worth $30 a model for $100 for that box? No. No, they are not.
If you only need three, I guess, but you don't. You actually need more than three.
But, I mean, that's not even worth it if, like, you only need the three.
No, it comes back to the blood counts. Like, they were $75, but you get, like you never used a unit bigger than five.
Yeah.
Like, it was everything you ever needed ever for your Vampire Counts army. Like,
yeah, but, I mean, it even if that's all you need for your army, you make them, I don't know, $40. And or let's say 50 because there's five of them, so it's $50 for that. All right, I mean, like, not terrible. They were metal and resin.
Yeah, they were fucking huge.
Yeah, they were huge. But I mean, if they were plastic,
well, plastic's different.
It'd be like $35 for the box of five. And you're like, okay, I only need to buy one of them. That's fine. But more people will buy the one box as opposed to that one guy who's gonna buy the one box. And you're like, ah, so finally we're gonna make our money back on this one guy bought the box. Or Archeon being like $200. Like, what the fuck is that?
He's a really big model.
Yeah, I know he's a really big model. He's not a $200
he's
model.
Really big.
How much does a Gundam model that size cost? Not the super fancy Gundams either.
Not much.
Yeah.
No, like the normal size Gundam that's like the 144, which is, I mean, probably about as big as a Wraith Lord, a little bit bigger than a Wraith Lord, is like $15.
Exactly.
And they have way more pieces and are fully articulated when you build them.
So don't give me that shit. Like,
yeah, it's got nothing to do with the production.
Yeah, it's all about, like, you know, what.
The Gundam are in multicolored plastic.
Yeah, I mean, like, so they're pretty much all pre-painted as is. But, I mean, that's, like, the thing is, it's just like, God damn it, just fucking make them cost what they're supposed to cost, not, like, this ridiculously inflated
thing.
Well,
they're still priced as, like, a weird, like niche level of hobby, and like if you lowered the price you can get more people into the game.
Yeah, I mean, well, for Age of Sigmar it doesn't make any sense anymore because there's no such thing as rares, and
right, well, yeah. I mean, Age of Sigmar is its own fucking universe. Like, you can buy the Age of Sigmar is a totally different animal. Yeah. Now, because you can just buy what do you want to play? Okay, cool, buy this star collecting box and then like this box, there you go, you got an army. Like, it's yeah. It's totally they're the
oh
pricing,
you want to be competitive. That's a different story.
Right. Yeah. But if you want to just play, which most people want to do, like most people, they just want to play. Like,
yeah. Well, I think from what I've seen is that most people want to play. They use the point costs. They kind of they use like the majority of the rules for army building. If they mess up like something or other, they want to put more than one or two behemoths in there. That's fine. No one gives a shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just a fun game. But, I mean, if, like, you're playing at tournament level, it makes it a little more difficult.
Yeah, but, I mean, staying competitive in this game is ludicrously expensive anyway, because you need to adapt and change every time a new anything comes out.
Well, it's a good thing a new army hasn't come out in like a year and a half. So,
well, they've been released. They haven't been releasing a new army for anyone, like for anything. It's all been like they did the 40K release.
Yeah.
Then they had the Death Guard, and the Sigmarines, or the bigger Space Marines.
Yeah. Primaris.
The Primaris Space Marines, and then other than that, most of the releases have been special boxes, like they did Blight War and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then side games like Shadespire, Necromunda, Blood Bowl.
Yeah. It's kind of weird. I'm wondering what's... I think it's because they knew 40K release was this year, and they were like, we're not going to release anything.
Yeah, I think so.
Because we don't care. Our money has been made for this fiscal year.
I think you're right. Also, just in terms of like being a hobbyist, like if you play both games, like and you most people favor 40K. Like most people only play 40K. Like when you're talking workshop, for the most part, people just play 40K. They don't play anything else.
Yeah.
And then you do have the few guys who play both.
Excuse me, I play Blood Bowl.
But if they play frequently, they probably play 40K more than they play other games.
I have my halfling team from Blood Bowl that I've had since 1994.
The paint's coming off of them, but I just don't feel like fixing them.
I painted them up like the Cleveland Browns. My favorite footballer team.
Nobody's favorite team is the Browns.
My favorite American football team.
Nobody's favorite team is the Browns.
I
don't know anything about football, and I know that no one's favorite team is the Browns.
I don't even think the Browns exist anymore.
Yeah, they're Cleveland.
I know, but I think they moved.
I don't fucking know.
Let me see. I'm going to check this out.
All right, check it out.
Hey, guys, so just stick with me for a second.
We don't
know anything about football.
You check out this Brown situation.
Then we're going to check out the Cleveland Browns.
You got to figure they want people to just spend, like, they just want to centralize the purchasing. Like, here, everyone's going to buy 40K anyway. So let's not release.
Oh, they are still a team. Okay.
Let's not release an Age of Sigmar army that's going to fucking fall flat on its face because everyone's buying 40K.
Yeah, that's true. So Cleveland Browns, right now, they're the fourth in the AFC North.
I don't know what the fuck that even means.
They're going to be playing on Sunday against the San Diego Chargers.
Is AFC the anime film club? Because
it's the anime film club.
I want to join the Browns.
I believe it's the American Football Club.
Mm.
I don't know if C stands for club. I think it's the conference, American Football Conference. Mm. National, yeah. So whatever. There's the AFC and the NFC, and they are in the AFC.
No, have you played Darkest Dungeon?
No, I've not played Darkest Dungeon.
You should.
I believe it's a. Is it a video game?
Yeah, on Steam. You can get it on Steam. On Steam.
No.
You should play it. It's really good.
I'm still playing Total War, and I have two games in my queue right now that I gotta get over. Hopefully, when the next Steam sale happens, I can pick up the Origins and the new Shadows of War.
Well, if you see, do you have a PS4?
I do, but I don't use it for gaming.
Oh, okay.
I have two kids and a wife. So my time with the
PS4 is a media center.
PS4 is a media center, and every time when I'm like, so my son, he's young. He goes to bed at 6:45, which gives my daughter goes to bed at 7:30. So after 7:30, when my daughter goes to bed at 7:30, so when she goes to bed and my wife finishes up bedtime, I have like a 20-minute window to do anything that I want on the PS4, and most of the time I'm just watching an episode of Family Guy.
I see.
That's pretty much all I have time
for. Very good then.
Yeah. No, I use my computer for Steam anyway. Right.
But if you do see Darkest Dungeon on special on Steam, pick it up. You might like it. It's a really, really good one.
Well, you got me on the one dungeon crawl, whatever that one was.
Oh, yeah. The first person one. I can't remember the name of it.
Yeah. Whatever.
But it was a classic throwback to that D&D one. This one is not a dungeon crawl game like that, but it is quite good.
Yeah, we got let's see, what else do I got here? Samurai Batman. Samurai Batman got released.
Is Samurai Batman?
You didn't see the video in the preview for it?
No.
It's a Batman anime that they did. It looks really cool.
That sounds cool.
I'll show it to you.
Because the Shanghai Batman was fucking awesome.
It's done by the guys who did JoJo.
Oh, okay.
So, or at least some of the animators. I'm sure, like,
that's David Production.
Whatever. Some guy who's probably screaming at me goes, "No, it has nothing. It's just this guy who was the lead animator on the title screen."
If it was animated by JoJo, it would be David Production. Like,
I don't think it's just that production. It's okay.
Because David Production is like the only thing they do is JoJo. I don't think they're doing anything else.
It's certain people. Maybe they work for David Production.
Gotcha,
or whatever.
Gotcha. Like, but the people, not necessarily the company. Understood.
Yes, but it's like—is
it a short film? Is it what?
No, it's like one of their direct DVD animated films.
Oh, sick!
So, but the funny thing is that it's all in Japanese and it's dubbed, and it's subtitled.
Awesome.
Yeah. So that's really cool, and it's got like you hear them go like the Batman, and I'm like, yes, that's what I want to hear.
Sweet. Is it like alternate history? Like in
no. So what it looks like is it's like, like Batman from our universe is like sucked back in time.
That sounds awesome.
But there's like because he says like I have nothing. I have no Batmobile. I have no Batwing.
That's awesome.
And but there's like a bunch of other characters, so I don't know if they go back in time with him. Like Alfred's there, but he's still like in his tuxedo. But you see like Robin and Nightwing and Catwoman, and Harley Quinn, and he fights like. And the thing is, it's called like Ninja Batman is what it's called, but Batman is dressed like a samurai. So I'm like, ah, this is disingenuous. There is no truth in this art. And but the Joker looks great in it because it's like he's got that kind of like anime like. I don't know how to describe it. Remember that guy, Voldo, from...
Voldo, yeah. Yeah. From Soul Calibur.
He looks... He moves like Voldo from Soul Calibur. That's cool. So, like, that kind of, like, lanky kind of way. It looks really great on that. I was, like, kind of excited when I watched it. And it also has, like, that weird Miyazaki-style soundtrack where it's, like, that the strings and everything that are going up.
The Batman Ninja.
The Batman Ninja. Ninja Batman. I think you would like it. I was watching it. I was like, I gotta see this movie. This movie looks great.
That looks fucking sweet. Yeah, it's just called Batman Ninja. Yeah,
yeah. But he's dressed like a samurai, so I don't know why. The Batman.
I'm into it.
Let's see what else. Oh yes, and the episode Arena of Star Trek was on today when I was watching TV. So I just wanted to mention that in the podcast as well, with the Gorn. I love that episode.
It's a good episode.
Episode 18.
It's a very terrible alien costume, but it's a good episode.
The Gorn? No, the Gorn costume was great. It was great, sir. If you think Halloween 3 is great and you don't acknowledge the awesomeness of the Gorn.
I mean, I think the episode's really cool. The Gorn's costume is pretty bad.
I made my daughter watch it. Because she was like eating dinner, and I was eating dinner, and all of a sudden I hear like the TV's on the background. I just didn't pause it, and I was like, all of a sudden I hear like they start the title sequence, and all of a sudden I hear him doing the captain's log, and I'm like, this is the Gorn episode. This is Arena, Penny. This is Arena. So I was like,
it's Arena, Penny, come look, it's Arena.
And I was texting Kevin. I was like, Kevin, Arena's on right now.
Put on TV, Arena's on. Yeah.
So I said, I'm sitting there watching it, and I'm like, come over here, kid. Come here.
It's time for you to watch Arena.
He's making a gun out of a tree trunk. He's making gunpowder. Diamonds.
They did give him all the things he needed to defeat him.
Yeah. The Metrons.
Yeah. I bet 700 Quatlus on the newcomer.
No, those are the...
No, those are the other guys.
Those are the Game Masters.
Yeah.
The Game Masters of Triskelion. Triskelion.
That's good stuff.
Yes.
I was watching, when I was at the Star Trek convention, there was a original series marathon going on BBC. It was all the Star Trek. It was just like all Star Trek episodes just continuously airing, which was pretty cool.
Yeah.
It was cool to like go to the Star Trek convention, see the shit, see the nerds, listen to the actors, then go back to the room and have Star Trek on, and then go to sleep with Star Trek on, wake up with Star Trek on. It was cool.
That's pretty immersive. Yeah. You know that there's a science fiction fantasy convention that goes on over in Lombard?
No, I didn't know that.
The place where they used to do Adepticon. It's basically they have a lot of books and stuff like that, booksellers.
It's a Bi-Mon Sci-Fi Con?
It's a Bi-Mon Sci-Fi Con, but it's mostly all about books.
That's
not
weird.
Movies. But they
Who
do,
buys books?
People? I don't know.
All right.
But what they do that's great is they have like a concert. They have concert stage. They do filking there.
The fuck is filking?
You don't know what filking is? It's folk science fiction singing.
Oh,
remember from
it was in Trekkies. Yeah. Yeah, okay.
They do a whole like filking concert.
The fuck calls it filking? Why is it that?
I don't know why it got
so
that name.
Weird.
It was done before we even became nerds, Steve.
That's so weird.
It was like
filking,
like slash fiction, like
sure.
I mean, there's lots of things you could have called it.
But
like,
slash fiction makes sense because it's name slash name.
Well, we get that, but it could have been called something else. It was done before we became nerds. We had no voice in that argument.
I mean, I'm not saying I have a thing against it being called filking. I just want to know where the origins of that is from. That's just a bizarre thing.
I mean, it's folks, you know, or fiction folk singing, science fiction folk singing. I don't know. All I know is they sing about Star Trek.
What about fisting?
Fisting.
You just put some mayonnaise on there and
ooh, that sounds good. I feel bad. We always talk. We've been talking about Workshop a lot lately.
Orville is really good.
You enjoying the Orville?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the next episode.
Yeah. We gotta find out some. We gotta get some other like Magic or D&D news or something. Or
I mean, there
news.
Isn't really much. Like, the Xanthar's Guide came out for D&D, and it's fucking
Some
super,
of them are upside down.
Like, every D&D release is the same. It's like, it's a new book. It's a new thing that says Dungeons & Dragons on it, and there's a fuck ton of people who want it. Like,
yeah.
It's there's nothing really to, like, review. The thing I've been doing is picking up the 5th edition compatible Adventures in Middle-Earth.
Yeah,
which is
I'm gonna talk like
which
this.
Is the one which is the guys who made the One Ring, so Cubicle 7, but it is D&D 5th edition rules.
Are they the ones who are doing the Star Trek one?
That's Modiphius.
Modiphius, that's
Modiphius
right.
Modiphius is doing that. Cubicle 7 is doing.
Did they release that yet?
Yeah, it's out.
Okay.
Cubicle 7 is doing the Redux of Warhammer Fantasy Roleplay.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
that's the big name that they landed.
Yeah.
So it should be good. Cubicle 7 is fantastic. Their production values are really great. I think their system is a bit, it's not complicated, but there's a huge issue where, like, I found that if your system isn't absurdly basic, like Fate, say, it's very hard to break out into the RPG world with a system that isn't D20 based.
Or I just think there's a simplistic system that works. I mean, a
super simple system can work, but if your system is like above, like beyond, like if there's like ground, there's D&D is like, let's say D&D is like 75%. Like, that's the level of complexity D&D is. It's 75%.
I wouldn't go that high, but I agree.
Let's just say.
Yes.
Just for the sake of this. It's 75% is D&D. If your game is not exactly compatible with D&D, so your game is not 75% using that. If your game is anywhere above 20%, it can't exist. It like it just floats around in this void. The only thing you can have to make your game like actually get picked up by people is to be super low. Like, it has to be a low level.
Okay.
Because I'd put Pathfinder, as far as RPGs go, I'd put Pathfinder at 100%. I'd put D&D 5th at 75%.
Are you talking about, like, in terms of crunchiness?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, in terms of, like, crunch. Like, Pathfinder is nothing but crunch, so it's 100.
Okay.
D&D 5th is, like, 75, because it's, like, it's got a lot of crunch, but it's also loose.
Yeah. I think that's, like...
And there's a lot of mechanics. Like, there's a lot of rules, like,
that's true.
To know,
and
just for numbers.
Like, when you got to have, like, 8 books at the table when you're playing
right.
a game, that's pretty crunchy.
There's a lot of rules. Even if they're not difficult or complex rules, there's still, like, a lot of them. Like, your character has a lot of abilities.
I don't know how fucking people play Pathfinder. It's got the amount of books for Pathfinder is fucking ridiculous.
I imagine most people, they just design their character, know how to play that character, and just do that.
Not even that, but like, how do you run a fucking Pathfinder game?
You have to trust that the people know how to play their characters.
Jesus Christ. I'm looking at some of those and I'm just like, I could not wrap my mind around that much rules. Like, there's... What is it? I'm trying to think of the
feats and shit.
No, remember that first episode of Star Trek where the guy like gets the powers of a god.
Oh yeah,
and
his
eyes become all like glassy and like that. That's what I imagine. If you understood all of the rules of Pathfinder, you'd ascend to godhood and you'd be like, I am the Pathfinder God. Then apparently they'd be like, I'm going to use this feat. You can't use that feat. It's
actually,
a one-time feat.
Actually, in Ultimate Combat, they added that.
And he shoots lightning out of his fingers.
Ultimate this!
I understand all!
Yeah, so...
Or else your head would explode like in
Scanners. Yeah. I think you can adequately play Pathfinder if you just do what the fuck they call it?
The Adventure League? Or
I can't remember. Well, that works okay. Because everything is just, like, set.
Set for you, yeah.
And then if you want to play, like, homebrew stuff, you just do ES6 or whatever. I don't know. There's, like, a thing where you only go to level 6.
Yeah.
Like, the characters cap at level 6. Everything caps at level 6, period. Like, when you get... And then after level 6, for every 5,000 experience your character gets, you get a feat.
Yeah.
Like, but you still have to meet all the requirements for it. So, like, you never get past that, like... The thing that makes Dungeons & Dragons, like, the classic adventuring, like, you never get past that. And that's the hardest thing about when you're running games of Pathfinder, like, the power scale is actually fucking insane. Like, a level 15 wizard is essentially a god. Like, the amount of shit they can do is so ludicrous, making adventures them. It's like...
Look what my wizard can do.
It's not even that, too, but it's like, oh, there's a... You need... There's a dying prince who needs this rare herb. Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to cast flight. We're just going to go to where the herb is, avoiding all the obstacles that could possibly come up. Land, take the herb, and then I'm going to cast Dimension Door to head back to the prince. It's like, oh, yeah, I guess I didn't really think about that. Like, and that's the
rocks fall.
Well, that is like the world stops making sense. Like, once you have characters reach that power level, the world stops making sense. It also stops making sense when you think about that there's anyone in that world who exists at that power level, because there would never be conflict. Because, like, if, like, one kingdom was going to attack another kingdom, just be like, we've got three level 20 mages. You have none. We're just going to blow up your kingdom from here.
Well, that's
like,
when
there's
you say,
no war.
That's when you say, like, this kingdom doesn't use swords in combat. They use the power of rock.
Or when you just... or when you realize that games
today's
that have that kind
Tom
of power
Sawyer
level are stupid. The more adult realization is that, oh, things that have that power level in games are fucking stupid and I shouldn't play those games. Yeah, it's so dumb. Like, Gandalf is like a level 7 wizard tops.
Gandalf wasn't even level 7. Like, Gandalf the White was like level 7 tops.
Yeah, tops. Like, tops. So
Gandalf the Grey, I would go at about a 4.
He's definitely got at least one level in Warrior because he fucking chops the shit out of people with that sword.
Yeah, and he did fight a Balrog.
See? Hand-to-hand.
In hand-to-hand. And he fought it to a standstill.
Yeah, so...
Let's...
You can't do that with just class as a wizard.
Let's be fair. He crit rolled a lot during that combat. And he a lot of 20s on the saves.
And he definitely buffed himself a lot, too.
Yeah.
Well, the fall helped.
The fall, yeah. I mean, yeah, there was a lot going on there. But he definitely... saved, like some magnificent saves.
I actually started listening to an actual play podcast called Pretend Friends, and it's using the guy who's running the game. It's his system. I don't know if he's got plans to produce the book or whatever, but it's called Space King. That's the name of the game. it's fucking great.
Space King.
It's called Space King, and the system sounds fucking awesome. I'm gonna see if he has the rules up, because if he does, I'm gonna ape it. I'm gonna make it Dungeon King.
Oh, okay.
So make it fantasy, but it's very White Wolf. Like you have a physical stat, so like brawn, dexterity, intelligence, and then you have skills. So like in this one, it's like computing, presence,
hacking.
Guns, hacking, etc. And whatever it is you take.
I'm in.
Everyone has a deck of cards, and you take your two numbers. So like I say, like, oh, you're gonna punch him. Okay, do a brawn and a melee check. And what you do is you take your two numbers, whatever they are, and you flip cards off the top of your deck. However many face cards you get is how many successes you have. If you get a joker, he calls it the hubris rule, because when you have the higher your skill, the more cards you're flipping. When you flip a joker, something goes
awry.
Awry.
Ari. Does it go Ari?
Ari. And then when you're done flipping, you have a discard pile, and you don't get to reshuffle until you're through your deck.
Oh, okay.
And that's it. And everything's based on successes.
Interesting.
It's like he said he came up with the idea because he always wanted to, like, he and his friends always wanted to play games, but like they want to also drink and have a good time. And he's like, those, like, the super social activities and like drinking and like messing around don't really mesh with D&D very well, like the games that have a lot of rules. So he's like, I want something that still has rules to get, you know, people like
invested
and bound, but I want it where like if they've had a few shots, they can still, you know, play.
Flip a cart, yeah.
Yeah. And
I'm gonna punch that dragon.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll punch the dragon.
I'll punch it. All right, fine. Flip brawl and might.
Whereas my favorite one is that I'm gonna go in that boat and go on the lake. Really? Really? Really, Pat? Really, you're gonna go on the boat?
Calling him out again.
God damn.
I told you, you they have no experience with the mythos. They'll have no idea.
Well, that's the thing. But I explicitly said,
doesn't matter.
In the game.
It doesn't matter. If they
He's a fish god.
But as soon as he said vampires and like he wrote the description, I was like, "Oh, yeah, I could see that." Yeah. Cuz you got to remember, they're normies.
That wasn't Pat. That
was
someone
still,
else, but yeah.
They're normies.
They are normies.
So they're not going to get any part of the mythos. Yeah. That's like getting mad that they didn't understand that it was a Hound of Leng.
Well, no, I mean, I don't blame him.
Do you blame him for not knowing what a Hound of Leng is?
Well, no, but I mean, when earlier I said, oh, they worship a fish god, and they're like, I'm going to go on this boat on this lake.
What if it was a hagfish? They drink blood.
I mean, but even still.
Or a lamprey.
Even still.
Ooh, that'd be pretty cool. Aquatic vampires. They're lampreys.
Yeah, I guess. But I mean, still.
They got those really
weird
circle mouth faces.
What about Sasquatches, Steve?
No Sasquatches.
What about the Sasquatches? People get angry about the Sasquatch.
I told you the Squatch is stupid.
I love
it. It's so dumb.
You know what? I can't help it if you don't have any magic in your life.
I have plenty of magic. And
the Sasquatch?
The Squatch is not magic.
Sasquatch brings magic to everyone.
The Squatch is dumb hillbilly nonsense.
He carries a bag of toys. Bag of joy is what he has. The Sasquatch is going to be.
Is he the Squatch or is he the Krampus?
Ding dong, Krampus.
Krampus. That movie was not very good. It had great effects.
It was all right.
The effects were solid.
Yeah. The
movie couldn't decide what it wanted to be.
No.
It was so all over the place.
It should have been more horror comedy.
Yeah. Well, they tried, but then
they kind of went away from it. Yeah. Which was bad.
Like, they couldn't decide. They didn't stick to what they
should have been
to
like
do.
Gremlins.
Well, Gremlins is great because Gremlins is totally straight. Like no one deviates from Gremlins. The only thing that's silly in Gremlins are the Gremlins themselves.
Yeah.
Which is why that movie works, because all of the characters are like terrified with these creepy little things who are like crazy. Like and the. Yeah, you know, I'm a man. Or it's not Maniac. It's the fucking song when they're in the bar. I thought it was Maniac, but it's not Maniac.
The one from the original Gremlins.
Yeah.
I just saw Gremlins 2 recently. Movie takes way too long to get started.
I seem to remember that being a thing.
I find that with a lot of science fiction, with a lot of movies in the 1980s, it's just like, God, these movies have like 45 minutes of exposition at the beginning. It's like,
so that dude totally fucked that gremlin, right?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Robert Picardo.
Yeah,
yeah.
They totally fucked.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the sexy girl gremlin had sex with the doctor.
Yeah, they fucked.
Yeah.
Okay.
just to put that out there.
Just put that out there. That dude fucked a gremlin.
Yeah.
I mean, she was sexy, I guess.
She had lipstick on.
Yeah, you know, it's all right.
As long as it was consensual. That's
true.
All that matters.
Well, I mean, if I remember correctly, she was pretty aggressively coming on to him.
That's true. By the way, I think we should announce that Steve is stepping down from the Game Classic podcast
to fuck gremlins
to have for sexual harassment allegations
about gremlins.
It was about the gremlins. Steve, you got to stop. You got to stop being handsy with the gremlins.
But she was jumping on me.
They're so sexy.
Sexy as gremlins.
Stupid sexy gremlins.
He definitely was fucking the spider gremlin. Yeah.
I'm not a. Did he fertilize the eggs? That's what he did. All right. Go to Planet Arbitrary for your Planet Arbitrary needs. You can follow me on Twitter at Planet Arbitrary. You can follow Steve at
I'm Command Throw.
Like our Facebook page, /Game Classy Podcast. Posting a lot of memes lately. So it's my thing.
Good work.
I've just been finding memes online. And stealing the memes, Steve.
Oh, man. A meme thief.
they say make what you're good at your passion, and that's what it's stealing memes. That's what I've been doing. My favorite one lately has been the Imperial Guardsman with the coffee,
mm-hmm.
where it's just like he's like, ah, this is a coffee, and then the coffee says something. He's like, ah, too grim dark.
the cream,
yeah.
That was good.
Yeah, I just been saying that in the morning when I'm drinking my coffee. I just to myself, I'm like, ah, it's too grim dark. I like my coffee like I like my dark like I like my 41st millennium. Grimdark.
Yeah, it's good.
Back to the game. Best way you can help out the podcast, like, comment, subscribe on the iTunes. You can also like, comment, subscribe on the YouTube where I post up the podcast. Someone said, like, DuckTales is spelled wrong. I don't care enough to fix this.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Nobody cares about DuckTales.
Well, I care about the DuckTales.
Yeah, but not the spelling.
No, not the spelling at all. I don't really care that much. I mean, generally, if you say something like, you're wrong about this, and I don't, like, immediately refute it, I acknowledge that you are probably correct, and I just don't care enough to so just take solace in the fact that you won that argument.
Very good.
Yes. You could also listen to our sister podcast. You could listen to Comic Book Logic, posted every other week than this, and we have Spider-Man Homecoming coming up, and we're going to do an end-of-the-year special thing in a 2018 year preview. A lot of crap coming out next year, including the aforementioned $500 million Infinity War.
Is it actually that much money?
Yeah, the two of the movies are costing $1 billion.
That's fucking insane.
With a B, it's the most expensive movies of all time.
They're gonna make infinite dollars, so I guess.
Well, I mean,
the thing is, aren't they gonna hit a critical mass where like the budget is so high, like the best they can do is break even?
Well, I think that Infinity War is literally. Like a one-time deal. Like they'll never make a movie
like this is it.
Like this is it. Like this is a cast of 45 people.
I did think about that because that's actually like everyone. Because going by the trailer,
oh yeah, it's everyone.
Everyone is in it. Like they didn't miss a single character.
No,
every character is in it.
That's specifically what they're saying.
Which is fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Like, how long is that movie going to be?
Well, it's two parts. It's probably
But how long is each part going to be?
Probably 3 hours. It's like a six-hour movie, so it's, you know, it's Fellowship Extended Edition, you know, 6 hours long. Yeah, so we're going to do that, and we're the preview for that. 2019 is going to be insane, though, for Disney. And then you also have Play On Podcast, which is all about the video gaming. Steve and Pat talking about loot boxes, right? Yeah, loot boxes.
Loot boxes. They're gambling.
It's gambling. How bad does Pat rail against the loot boxes? It seems like something
Pat mostly just really rails against Destiny 2. Because it seems like he's okay with the loot boxes and games he likes.
Oh, okay. So he's a hypocrite, is what you're saying.
No, I don't know about that. I just don't think I don't think he's taken a close enough look
at his own self
at the loot boxes in general.
Like, hey, Steve.
He's not a fan.
Hey, Pat. Let's take this microscope. Let's turn it on yourself. What do you see there? That's a hypocrite. That's what you say.
Your words, not mine. I wouldn't say that.
Spending any money on a game after I bought the game is just ludicrous to me because I'm old school like that.
I mean, I used to buy expansion packs all the time. So I'll
buy DLC. Expansion packs, DLC, it's a little bit different. If I'm getting like some levels out of it.
Random
or...
shit is loot boxes are not.
Yeah.
No.
That's not DLC. That's not DLC.
Right.
Like
that's
if
not
they
DLC.
If they were like buy a new hat for $5, I'm like, no, I will not buy a new hat. Or buy this gun. This gun will help you win.
Now,
no,
if it's an expansion pack that adds the concept of hats to the game, then you're in. Then what game are you playing? One, but two, but I don't know. What do hats add?
What are these hats adding to the game? It's like like in Mario, the Mario Odyssey, hats are very important, apparently.
Just one hat. And then you throw it.
Well, you don't know. You sold your Switch.
I never had a Switch.
Or your soldier.
I never got it. I never got a Switch.
Your Weebo. Yeah. You also can listen to Weebtown or watch Weebtown. It's on.
That's right.
It's Twitch.
We're doing it on Twitch and YouTube now.
YouTube Switch.
Yes, we've changed our format.
And then the daycare one, dissecting daycare.
Deconstructing
daycare. I'll get that right.
They just did Doc McStuffins.
Yeah, Doc McStuffins. That's the terrifying world of Doc McStuffins. It's terrifying. I've been watching PJ Masks, which I'm sure Pat will do soon. Pat was, one time I was over at his house, and he's like, you ever watch PJ Masks? So, are they super, I'm like, Pat, I'm familiar with the mythology of PJ Masks. I don't care. But yeah, I've been watching a lot of old, like, 70s Sesame Street, too. God, it's fucking amazing. Everyone is so sweaty and on drugs. And it's just, like, so much cocaine. Like, you could see the cocaine on like, Oscar the Grouch's fur. Like, just brushing it off. Like, you could tell, like Jim Henson is just fucking out of his mind.
Oh, yeah.
It's so great. I love it. But anyway, so, Steve, until next time.
Great speed. This warrior is swift as a loosed arrow.
Is he as swift as a coursing river?
No.
Is he, does raging fire?
No.
Great typhoon?
All too predictable.
We'll make a man out of you.
That's one of the things that's really great in Darkest Dungeon is the narrator.
Yeah.
When like you score critical and stuff, he's like, a fresh wound opened upon the ground. Like he just does all sorts of shit like that. He's like, the enemy falls and a faint glimmer of hope rises. It's fucking cool.
Game classy.